Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Donnie, football Friday tomorrow, part-time pump, may or may not be here, Donnie. If he's here, it's going to be awesome. Would you agree?
It would be awesome.
Leading up to a Steelers-Browns rematch? You, me, pump?
No, nothing better, I think. It could be the greatest Donnie football Friday ever. We have a couple of controversies to sort out. One is the pronunciation of Santa's last name. How would you pronounce it?
Claus.
Okay, then you're with the majority.
Yep.
Couple of us.
I knew that would upset you.
No.
Thank you, Donnie.
Couple of us think Claus, because there's no E on the end. It's just Claus, Santa Claus.
Just a handful of people do. Just a handful.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right?
That's like Troy Gloss, Troy Glaus.
No.
The old baseball player?
Oh, my God. He just made my argument for me. It's not Troy Gloss. It's Troy Gloss. Correct?
That does not stand to reference every single instance of what might be the same type of thing.
It's A-U-S, my friend. It ain't Troy Gloss. This is unbelievable,
yeah,
Donnie,
and some
that
people pronounce their
argument.
I've heard people pronounce Chris Mueller's name differently. Some people call it Mueller.
No,
some people call it
Mueller. How about the old
so
baseball
what makes
player?
Any difference?
Did Santa clarify?
Yes, Santa did clarify.
Yeah, when?
Ron, I don't know. Why don't
all
you
All the
ask
interviews.
Him?
Ron got him.
Ron covered his first ride,
that's right.
I think.
Didn't he?
At the beginning of time.
There's also another...
We're out here with Santa Claus.
there was a baseball player with the Red Sox about 20 years ago. His last name was spelled like Malzi's last name, and he pronounced it Miller.
Yeah, but this is a very specific pronunciation. A-U-S is Aus. It's Aus. It's Troy Gloss. I can't believe you just made my argument for me, Donnie. Thank you. It's Santa Claus. It is. I'm right. The other argument is Y108. Which is next door to us.
Yes.
Had two pizzas out on the counter outside the room. To me, food on counter equals
free game.
For all. Free game.
Yep.
So I opened it and I took a piece and brought it down here, and then Chris Mack came in and started giving me crap over this. You witnessed that, Donnie.
Yeah, that's absolutely free game if it's put out there.
Like you agree?
I think
limits?
You have to go out there and claim it quickly. I mean, we know how people are in this place. Anytime there's food out here, you can see it right out this window. Anytime we get food delivered on, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's like dogs on raw meat.
It's like ravens on roadkill. when the pizza's out here,
yes,
that's not my pizza just because it's on my... Now, he actually ordered his pizza, I think. They ordered two pizzas for themselves, but they were out on the deck. You had a piece, too. Did
yeah,
you
did.
Catch any?
But I put the disclaimer out there that Chris Mack is allowed to berate me if he sees me taking a piece. But Chris and I are good friends.
Are
so,
you? All right.
Couple Baldwin natives there.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't feel
in our
bad.
Blood.
I don't feel bad about that either. Donnie, there's lots of things happening. I brought you in for Donnie Football Friday, but you're going to be Donnie Baseball for a moment. Are you ready for this?
Don Mattingly.
He was called Donnie Baseball.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he?
Donnie, you better be on the right side of this one.
Severino. The Sacramento A's signed this guy. What are they even called? What are they these days? They don't have any money.
I forget. They changed their whole...
We don't even know the name of
their
the
whole
team.
Brand,
they are
yeah.
just the A's.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
the
they're
athletics.
Like just the A's.
The Oakland Hockey Club?
No, just the A's.
It's ridiculous.
No city attached.
It's just going to be the A's baseball team.
Are the Pirates going to let them outspend them? They just spent 60, like how many, 67
million? 67
million. 3 years, 67 for Luis Severino. Really?
Okay.
Is he worth that contract?
Okay. That. All right. The Pirates need some bats. And this brings us to Ken Rosenthal today in The Athletic. He says that Christian Walker, who averages a little over 30 home runs the last 3-4 years, free agent first baseman from Norristown, PA. I don't know why Rosenthal is making that like a significant thing. Like, boy, I'm from Norristown.
Oh, everybody knows about great Norristown.
Yeah, I'd love to play for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Where is it? It's from the eastern part of the state. Oh, he does say that. Why is he even mentioning that? But Walker would be an ideal fit for the Pirates. The problem for the Pirates is that Walker is an ideal fit for a number of clubs, including the New York team that fails to sign Juan Soto. Uh-oh. That ain't good. And he says the idea of the Pirates winning a bidding war with the Mets or Yankees, or any club for that matter, is almost laughable, says Rosenthal.
Well, definitely the New York teams. It's laughable.
So I guess he's actually saying, I thought this was going to lead into something good. He's saying there should be interest there, but there's no way they win a bidding war. Why can't they win one bidding war for one guy? It's not like he's going to be a $100 million player, I don't think. Is he? Or is he?
Ooh. I mean, I think he's a very good player. I mean, a player where if they actually signed that dude, I would probably fall out of this chair if they signed him. Wow. So, like saying that they're interested in a player like that, I mean, that's like, and not to take this isn't meant as a personal shot at limits here, but that's like Austin or any other guy his age or my age.
As soon as you hear that a personal shot's coming,
well, it drew my attention.
But it's like, oh, single guy in his 20s is interested in Sydney Sweeney. We'll see who can get her. Like, they ain't going to get Christian Walker. Come on.
What a comparison to make there, Donnie.
Yeah. Donnie.
It's almost as bad as Joe saying we should go on a double date, but oh, wait, you don't have anybody to go with. You know that? Very nice, Joe. Thank you.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, okay. It's all well and good. The Pirates are interested in a really good first baseman, but.
The headline says what I'm hearing about the Cardinals and the Pirates. And then we go all the way down to. Yeah, Pirates might be interested in man, but they can't outbid anybody for him. It's the same old thing.
They'll call back Slam Tana.
Maybe. Probably. Or Brian Reynolds will play first. I don't know. Do you have our picks added up, limits? No.
No, I got to go back and get yours.
Tomorrow.
You didn't text
it's unbelievable. Tomorrow. I know, but I wanted to hear who won last week, how we all did.
I probably had a bad one. I always get crushed on those college games. I never get any of the college games right.
Well, Donnie, you had the Steelers, that won. You had the Ravens, though, that lost. You had Cleveland covering, that lost. You had San Francisco. You had Buffalo. I had San Francisco. That was terrible. I think we all had Ohio State.
We all. No, somebody picked Michigan.
Did you pick Michigan?
No, we all had Ohio State.
We all had Ohio State. You had West Virginia, Donnie. I did as well, I think. That did not happen. You had Boston College. That did not happen. And you had Penn State against Maryland. That happened.
Not bad, Donnie. You probably broke even.
Wait, what was that? What was the spread in Pitt-Boston College?
4.5.
I lost by 11.
Yeah, I thought you said I had Boston College.
He had Boston College.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah,
so I got
covered
it.
Limits. Yeah. What is happening here?
You had me worried
there. You picked Pitt.
I picked Pitt.
And then Narduzzi said the season was a success.
That's right.
Even though they were 3-5 in the conference after going 2-6 last year. I would have hated to see a failure, wouldn't you?
Joe,
if that's a success.
I gave you a lot of credit last week. It was either Tuesday when I was in for you or on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah.
How a month ago we had the conversation about if Pitt loses a couple of games but still gets to around 10 wins, like 9 or 10 wins, how would you grade their season? I still would have said that was a good season, but the way it went was just an absolute crater.
Oh.
It fell off a cliff.
7-5?
After 7 games, it fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then into a fiery pit.
Then he said it was a success. All right, let's get to the big game in town, Donnie, the revenge game. George Pickens is the lightning rod of the week. They're going to try to get under his skin. They did last time. He wound up going practically into the crowd on the last play of the game and not involving himself in the play. You know, the Bengals, it would appear, took up that mission with the same glee that the Browns did. And they, even though they gave a couple plays to him, they forced him into, they baited him, basically. Is he going to avoid that this week? Is he going to have a big game? Is he going to sign a new contract? Dulac says no this offseason. He's going to go into his final year without a deal.
I think you're running a risk of something major if you don't sign this guy. And I understand that he's a headache. I understand that he's a pain in the ass, and there's something that happens either every week or every couple of weeks.
Others would say you run the risk of running into something major if you do sign him to a contract.
But if you think he is a distraction now, if you think he's a pain now,
yeah.
Imagine that guy going into next season with nothing.
Doesn't that then settle the case not to sign him? I mean, if I have to worry about that, if we're already saying, if you're Omar Khan and I'm Tomlin, we're having this conversation, and you say to me, Mike, you know, we're going to have a big problem on our hands if we don't give George an extension next season. He's going to cause all kinds of problems. If I'm Mike, I say, then that pretty much settles it then. Don't sign him. Do we have to constantly worry about this guy and his reaction to everything from the opening play of the game last week with the pick six, where you have to go over and hug him and console him and tell him everything's going to be okay, to everything else? Stop. If he's incapable of coming back next year and playing football for his future with 1 year left on his deal, and he's going to cause problems, then I don't want him.
See, I think he's in a little bit of a different position than what we're used to. It's because the Steelers have no true option on the other side of him. I mean, okay, Calvin Austin having a nice season, he's got no future of being a top-tier wide receiver. Van Jefferson, same thing. Mike Williams goes out there and gets cardio in. He doesn't even get the football thrown his way. Every other time this has happened in the last, 25 years, like Plexico, we'll let him go, we have Hines Ward.
Yeah.
Santonio Holmes, we'll let him go, we have Hines Ward. Mike Wallace, we'll let him go, we have Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
They've always had, AB, we'll let him go now. He's caused so much of a stir, we feel like Juju can fill the void. He really didn't, but they always seem to have at least a pretty good sidekick there that they could lean on if they did let go of that guy. They just don't have that now to me.
But the reality, too, is that you still have one more year on his deal, plus you can franchise him. So you really have control of him for two more years if you wanted to do that. I know the price would be high, all of that, but if you're that desperate, you really do control him for two more years, plus you can find guys at that position.
You have to make sure you do.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like the Steelers draft history with wide receivers, I think it gets a little bit overrated by people. I'm not going to say it's bad. I do think that they have a good history of finding guys, but we always only ever hear about the good ones they find. We only hear about Hines Ward. We hear about Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, AB, you know, all the guys that go down the line. They got Pickens in the second round, but we don't often hear about Limus Swede or James Washington, or we're not going to hear about Chase Claypool much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we don't hear about the bad side of that. Those were all second-round picks.
How about the quarterback situation? We're talking Adonis Football here in advance of Adonis Football Friday, and it's gonna be Mardi Gras in here. We're going to have Limits, myself, Donnie, and Part-Time Pomp, I believe, will be here. That's the four horsemen of Notre Dame right there. Or was it the seven horsemen? I can't remember. No, the four. Yeah, it was. We're going to have a hell of a day is the bottom line here. Donnie, getting ready for this revenge game. Dulac reports, I don't think Dr. Kornfeder asked him this question, that he thinks Russ is going to settle for around $30 million a year from the Steelers, maybe on something like a three-year deal. That's what he said in his chat. Do you agree it would be that low?
Probably not. I feel like he would ask for higher than that, like maybe 35 or so. But if he's good to go for 30, I'll sign that right now.
He's good to go to 40? Would you sign it?
I would be pretty close to saying yes on that, because here's the thing. That sounds like a ton of money to people. For a quarterback anymore, it's really not. I mean, all you got to do is just do a quick little search and see what quarterbacks make now. To have a guy who's in the top half of the league, and I feel like right now, the way the guy has played, he is in the top half of the league. Now, yeah, he's older. It could fall off a cliff somewhat quickly, but that's why you try to keep it to 2 or 3 years max on that. That's really not a lot of money,
right,
by NFL standards.
I agree with you.
If you go to 30 or even up to 40 million. And we know you have to have a quarterback in this league or else you don't have a chance. You could have a nice roster. You can have a 52-man roster that is awesome from almost top to bottom. But if that top guy, if that quarterback, the 53rd man, is not a good player, then you're duped.
He threw them a lifeline here. They put themselves in a horrible position with a defense that had stars seemingly ready to win. Mike Tomlin went out and drafted Kenny Pickett and hired Matt Canada. Those are the things, and I, you know, from Hard Knocks, you love Tomlin. You have to love Tomlin. But these are the things that, you know, the Michael Silvers of the world or people around the league always seem to gloss over or never mention. Mike Tomlin drafted Kenny Pickett and hired and doubled and tripled down on Matt Canada, which effectively sabotaged any chance the Steelers had to win a championship for 2 years at least. Then he got lucky this offseason, and now he's doing a good job. Credit to him. Believe me, credit to him. Russell Wilson needs to be brought back. There's no plan B. I mentioned that with receivers. You can go out and get guys. You know, a lot of receivers every year in the league. Quarterback, no. They have a guy right now, and I would not hand the reins to Justin Fields next season. I don't trust him at all to be anything other than an average quarterback. This guy is different. He's actually good. He actually brings their offense explosion. They're desperate still for a quarterback after this season, and he's the guy they need. He's the guy they got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not in position to go shopping here.
Yeah, I don't think you should take your chances if you're already seeing good things from Russell Wilson. Unless all of this right now from this time on to the end of the season, it just completely goes downhill, then you maybe reassess things. But let's just say, even if it results in, whether or not it results in a playoff win or not, if he keeps playing himself individually at a similar level to what he is right now, I think it's easy.
I think you have a top 10 quarterback in the league if he does that easily.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a top, even a top half guy, top 15 to 16 guy in the league, you have to keep those guys around because we already experienced, the Steelers already experienced, when that guy goes away, it's not so easy to replace him. They thought Mitch Trubisky to Kenny Pickett would be the answer. It wasn't. You can't take your chance on that again, and we know that they'll never draft high enough to have a true game changer. Like, they're not going to ever be in the top five or ten, so that's out of the question.
Yeah, he would have all the leverage there. I just think that he's probably in a position, having made $300 million and with all the money in his family at the moment, that he might not go for the big contract. But then again, as I said last week with Arthur Smith going back to the college ranks, and that money would be a factor if he decided to do that. Here's the thing about people with lots and lots of money.
They always want more.
Yes.
Yeah.
I found it comical with Smitty last week that people were like, no, he's all good. There's no chance he's going back to college just for more money, or like that wouldn't even be a factor. People who have money want more money. That's the thing.
Yeah, that point usually falls flat with me. I mean, unless the player himself would come out and say, like, I'm willing to take a discount,
yeah,
that should not be assumed. No matter what the position is, no matter how much the guy says he likes being here, no matter how much he says he likes all the other guys in the locker room, there should never be the assumption, well, this guy should take a hometown discount. Why? If you were in that spot, you think you'd want the whole world telling you to take a hometown discount? Hell no.
Yeah.
Go make your money.
Now, it may be with either one of those guys and more like them that they will, that could be a factor. I'm just not assuming that will be necessarily. Donnie Football, getting ready for a Donnie Football Friday here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie, what has happened with Deontay Johnson? He shows up with a new team, a good franchise that wins lots of games, that has championship aspirations. You would think he would show up there like, hey, whatever you need me to do, you let me know. I'll be ready. And when they needed him, he refused to go into a game. For the Ravens, there was a report out there that when last seen, Deontay was walking backwards near the Inner Harbor, just out for a stroll. I don't know if we can
confirm
that.
Did he drop anything?
Or slip and fall? He was wide open. No, just that he was walking backwards. That's all I got. What happened to this guy? What is he doing? Is there something wrong with him?
I think he is near the end of his NFL career. Now, I don't want to put a guarantee on that because we've seen guys in the past try to work their way out of seemingly good situations and somehow jump up and get to a better one and then all of a sudden be back to the player that they once were. LeGarrette Blount did that here. Melvin Ingram did that here. Even James Harrison, who is a Steelers legend, you know, one of my favorites from my childhood, he did that late in his career and went to the Patriots. So there was some thought of that yesterday when the guys and I discussed this. Like, okay, he already got traded to a team that is a Super Bowl contender. Is there any thought with him, if I can work my way out of here, the Chiefs will pick me up?
Yeah.
Now, I actually think that the Ravens will not allow that to happen because I think the last thing they want will be to let this guy off the hook and then here comes Buffalo or Kansas City signing him and then they lose to them in the playoffs. And
Florio wrote about that too, saying, adding that they would just keep suspending him week by week. The real reason being they have draft pick compensation coming for losing him as a free agent after the season. They want to have him at the end of the year and then let him go so they get the pick.
Correct. And we're already so close to the end that I don't think they will let that happen. But it seems like he's just self-sabotaging himself. He's in a contract season. He gets traded from one of the worst teams in football to one of the better ones with one of the best quarterbacks in the league and one of the best offenses in the league. And now he's refusing to go into games. And it's a game where you'll hear players, you know, maybe if you watch old documentaries or whatever, and you'll hear players talk about big games, regular season or playoffs or Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they'll say things like, if you didn't want to play in a game like this, you didn't have a pulse. That's kind of what that game was on Sunday. That was one of the biggest regular season games on the NFL schedule.
I mean, it's just...
He didn't want to play?
Right. It's unreal. It really is. I've told this story many times that early in his Steeler career, I called up, I think it was his high school coach, and talked about, like, this dude is awesome. Like, almost like it's a you'll never have a problem with this guy situation. And it gets back to Pickens, Donnie, because as soon as Deontay got some money, which was the same as AB. Now, AB had good years after that, but if you listen to people Ryan
Elite
Clark,
years.
You listen to Ryan Clark.
It changed him.
The slide down started as soon as he got his money. And I wonder about that, you know, what would happen with George. With Deontay, it happened, man. It seems like a clear case of he got his money and lost his mind.
He just lost out on probably a whole lot more the way that he's handled this whole last year. And I had to come out last night when I was on and basically go back to while you and I were together for that week during March when that trade happened and how we reacted to it. I was not a fan of it at all at the time because I thought it left a massive hole on the Steelers roster. And I thought, okay, they're getting back what looks to be a middling cornerback who was about to get cut by one of the worst franchises in the league.
Right.
And now here we are 9 months later, and Deontay Johnson is working himself out of football, and Dante Jackson is among the league leaders in interceptions. So, you know, maybe they just got a little bit lucky with it, but it doesn't matter in the end. They nailed it, how they pulled that one off.
The con artist pulled that one off. Donnie, you're a wonderful man. I'll see you tomorrow for a Donnie Football Friday. Would you like to say goodbye to Limits?
I'm excited, Joe. Goodbye, Limits. I'll
goodbye,
see you in
Donnie.
Less than 24 hours.
That's correct.
Did you guys
see
have
ya.
Classes together at Waynesburg?
No, we
no,
weren't
I'm too
there
old.
At the same time.
You're too old?
I'm too old.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you proud of Limits?
I am proud of Limits. I'm always happy to see kids that, even though he didn't start at Waynesburg, he ended there. I like to see where Waynesburg comm folk end up.
It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Did you hear about his sinus problems?
I could hear it a little bit when I was driving in.
Now, here's the curious thing. He does games like you do, right?
Yeah.
Calls games. He said he was drinking tea and things like that, but wasn't taking any sinus medication, which I found very odd. And then a pharmacist called the show with recommendations. But let's not bury the lead. If you have a sinus problem, wouldn't you take sinus medication, Donnie?
Yeah, yeah, you probably should. You ever use like the Vicks trick too?
They said Mucinex is what I should use.
Sure, something like that.
Yeah, we have that at home.
I do have a dehumidifier in my room.
Yeah, you got to attack it.
There's a CVS right down the hill. You could hit that on your way home.
Sure could. Unbelievable. I know I keep saying that.
You said it all three times I've played it.
It's revolutionized our rejoins.
I love it.
It's a rejoin revolution with Gwen Gold, our very own from The Fan. Her band behind her is phenomenal.
Does a great job.
Better than the elevator music you've been playing for 8 months limits. Not that it was your fault.
No, it was not. But thank you to Gwen. Does a great job in the building. Does a great job with her music.
Hi, Jeff.
Joe, when's she going to make a customized show for the song for our song for the show?
I think she's doing that. We're going to have a theme song for the show.
Oh.
Something about Starkey and Limits and part-time pomp. I think that'll all be involved.
You got to work a Carl and a bird milk and some other things.
Yeah, and something, a specialized Friday version for Donnie Football. That's going to be incredible, Jeff. What's cooking brought
I
to
miss
you?
Ron.
Me too. Well, then we have to play Ron's voice because Jeff misses him more than anything. Pick up. There. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, Jeff, what's the big story over there today?
The big story is Alex Highsmith is on track to return. Arthur Smith talked about George Pickens. I thought that was a little interesting in that, listen, you work with different guys. You know they're going to be different behaviors, different personalities. He mentioned how he worked with, you know, A.J. Brown. And A.J., he had a great line about A.J. He said there were a couple of times I thought he was trying to win the Ray Guy of the Year award because he would punt the football when he was ticked off. But you can only go so far to where you can't hurt the team, and that's when it changes. He's been talking to George. He said Mike Tomlin's had some private talks with him, but he said what he likes about him is that he's not one of those guys that are just playing because he's good at the game. He's passionate about the game, that he loves the game of football, and he says that his practices have been really good. It's just, you know, Newsom, whomever with Cleveland's going to start running their mouth at him.
Right.
You know, they could do as much as they want to try to help them prepare for that, but it's up to George in that moment to walk away.
Man, it's just it has to be wearing on them a little bit too. It's just it's annoying to hear that the conversation should just be so simple. It should be, George, just go play, have fun. You're great. You're as talented as anybody in the world at what you do. Enjoy it. Go play football. Be competitive. Try to win. Let the other crap go. Just go have fun and play football. That's a simple message. And yet they keep having to babysit the guy during games and between games. It must be wearing on some of those people.
I can't imagine how frustrating it is for them. And, you know, the guys in the room, here's what's, you know, people think, oh, the players are ticked off at him. The players know his value. They know for them to get to where they want to go, they need George on the field. And they're trying, you know, you see guys talking to him at different points. Now we saw it on Hard Knocks, or you saw it on the TV broadcast of Broderick Jones or Mike Tomlin. Like, they're trying to be positive with him. It's just they haven't found that button to push yet. And ultimately, all those guys can do whatever they want. It's up to George to realize that it's time – I don't know if grow up's the right word, but it's time to stop worrying about what these guys are saying and just worry about your game.
When do the coordinators speak again, Jeff?
They already did. They just did not long ago.
Was Smitty the guy that you just referenced?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't catch that on the headset. What else did he have to say?
I mean, he talked about just a few of the other things that they're he thinks that as much as they want to spread the ball around, a lot of that is just rust and how it really does help the entire offense, because he believes that it keeps all 11 focused, because there are certain guys in certain offenses that are just decoys. But they don't have decoys in this offense. I mean, if you're open, you're Van Jefferson, it's a huge third down, he's going to throw you the ball. You know, if you're Ben Skowronek, if you're Michael Pruitt, if you're open, you're going to get the ball. And he said that helps with the consistency of an offense, because everybody's bought into every play because they know they legitimately have a chance to get the ball. There's some offenses where you tell guys that, but they know they're never going to touch it. But with Russ and the way they're running that system, that's what's helped, he believes, this offense flourish.
Will Mike Williams ever get targeted again?
Oh, man. We've asked between him and Tomlin and Mike himself, it's the million-dollar question. You wonder why he's not getting more opportunities, and I think it comes down to this in a number of circumstances. They love how Van and Skowronek block. So there are times where they want to run the football and they want those guys out there. We haven't seen those opportunities for Mike. I mean, you see that catch in Washington, you're thinking, okay, let's see some more of that. We haven't seen any more of that.
Have you sensed an extra edge at all with TJ Watt this week? Because I got a feeling he's going to have a big game. He was. I know it's a team game, but TJ was upstaged in that game by Myles Garrett, and Myles Garrett wasn't shy about letting the world know before and afterward what he thinks of that whole situation.
Yeah, we talked to him tomorrow. His practices look the same at this point, but you know it's there, Joe. You know, you're right, and now you get Highsmith back. Herbig's a really good player. Highsmith fits what they're doing really well, and Highsmith has owned the Browns. He has 8 career sacks against Cleveland, has that pick 6 against Cleveland. That's someone Cleveland has to watch for. Not more than TJ, but it is somebody they have to watch for. And also maybe look for them to flip sides, do some things to get TJ, you know, along that line a little bit more than we've seen in the past. But I agree with you. We've been around TJ long enough. You know that stuff is really brewing inside, and he's anxious to be able to show that off. The thing is, he can't be too anxious and let the Browns take advantage of that and push him to the outside and run plays, you know, where he isn't.
Jeff, we appreciate the time. You're a wonderful man.
Joe, thank you. I look forward to the theme song, and make sure you get, you know, limits in there a number of times.
We will. We're also cutting a Malzi Christmas album. Myself, City Limits here. Donnie Football is going to do a dramatic reading instead of sing. Pomp is going to be a guest singer. Here come the trains, Jeff. You can join
here
in on that.
The train. Joe, I'm going to go jump on a moving train.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right. See ya.
What a day this has been, huh, Limits? Started out with a little bit of acrimony between you and I before the show, and then everything settled down. I thought we did a good show.
It's been a day.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
What was the high point for you?
Choo-choo!
I think Hokie was really good.
I think me being able to prove to you that you're wrong about pronouncing Santa Claus was one of my most fun moments.
I think that Donnie Football actually proved that I am right. Troy Gloss.
No.
Troy Gloss. It, A-U-S at the end of a word is Oz. Oz, not Oz. Oz. That's O-Z.
It was more funner. It was more funner, and I know that's not a word, but I love saying it, though. It was more funner being able to get that right.
I think you got it wrong.
Santa Claus.
Let's tell people about tomorrow's show,
not
shall
Klaus.
We? It's going to be a Donnie Football Friday. I believe Pomp is in. Either way, we're going to talk about the Steeler game. We're going to make our predictions. We're going to make our weekly predictions. We're going to have our numbers game, me and Donnie, with Limits here as the judge. Nothing that has happened this week has convinced me that it won't be a blowout. I think TJ Watt's going to have one of the greatest days of his career, and I think the Steelers are going to win 34-13. Hokie says much closer than that. What say you, O Limitless Wonder?
I think it will be a close game as well, but I have a 10-point game, as it currently stands. No score prediction yet. That's the good old-fashioned radio tease.
Mike Williams, over under 0.5 targets?
Over.
How about 0.5 catches?
Over.
Really?
He gets one.
One catch? Touchdown one. Catch?
No. One. Over the middle.
I think Russ is going to have a nice day, as long as they don't bring in Justin Fields to throw with the game on the line. I think that would be a good thing.
Do you remember whenever Ron would do a read and you'd go, run?
Yeah.
Run.
Those were the good old
remember
days.
Remember that? That was fun.
Now I do miss him again. Run. Think about him. He's sitting in Florida right now. No, not a worry in the world. Nice big tall glass of frosty beer in his hand. Maybe he's even napping. Although he does nap with beer in his hand as well.
Come one, come all for the wheel of ball.
He's going to take a walk on the beach. I think he goes to happy hour every day. I am very jealous of Ron. Right
what
now.
Hour is the happiest hour for Ron? Noon?
Four. That's when it all starts, yeah.
Well, you said that he's in his second beer by like 11.
He is, but the free food doesn't start till 4.
That's right.
I think that's
the free food. You think he's made that many connections where he has free food and free drink every day?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely he's made that many connections. Yes.
I don't know about that. Do you have that type of connection?
No.
Then what makes you think Ron would in a foreign city?
He has a way. He has a way of doing that. He knows people. Doesn't he know one of the big wigs in one of the hospitals around here? I forget what the guy's name is, but he already knows him.
I'm sure.
Please, he has a talent for that. He sits down every day at 4 p.m. and there's free food coming his way and probably beer too.
I doubt that.
Not necessarily in that order. See you, Limits.
Goodbye.